We're going to talk about the pleasures of loving God. The pleasures of loving God. There are a lot of people, non-Christian and Christian alike, who somehow don't think that God is very pleasurable. Now, we here, for the majority of us, I think would agree that God is very pleasurable. Because we have tasted, we've stepped over that threshold and turned away from self to the degree that we've had an encounter with the living God, and we've come to understand how awesome and wonderful and beautiful and loving and kind our Father is, and how pleasurable it is to be with Him. And so I want to encourage everyone, though, if you've never stepped over that threshold to really fully abandon yourself to worship God in spirit and in truth, to do so. Because you'll never understand what it's like as long as you're holding back and holding on to yourself. As long as you're allowing the opinions of men and the fear of man to control you, you'll never know the bliss and the ecstasy of God. God wants you to experience the pleasures of Him. So I want to talk about that, the pleasures of loving God. It's not, some people's view of God is obscured, it's been twisted. It's been based upon maybe their own personal experiences. Sometimes in churches that you might have grown up in or been a part of. I know personally what it's like to be in a church that's dead. Hopefully never one that I preached at or pastored. But how many of you know what I'm talking about? There are a lot of dead churches. And we've had this division between the intellect and the emotions, as if the emotions are somewhat an evil thing and something that we should not experience, if you will, joy and peace and pleasure in God. And Gnosticism has done that very well, and it's crept into the church, and it's created an intellectual Christianity that is void of substance and passion. And it has become a thing of knowledge, yet void of life. How many know what I'm talking about? You can have all kinds of theology, all kinds of knowledge, and yet be void of life. What God wants is for us to encounter Him, to know Him. And to know Him is to love Him, because He has... His pleasures are beyond measure, beyond comprehension, beyond words, beyond anything this world could offer. And the reason why many people are being tainted by the pollutions of the world, even Christians, is because either they've never known the pleasures of God, or at one time they did, and somehow they disconnected, and they began to be seduced by lesser things. And they've backslidden. So I want to talk about the pleasures of God this morning. Someone once said that love is not a feeling. As if love is somehow independent of our emotions. Love, I would say, is more than just a feeling. Remember the song by Boston, "More Than a Feeling"? Of course, he was talking about his girlfriend. But love is very much connected to our feelings. There are some marriages that are, I'm not talking about anybody here, I hope, but there are some marriages that have been on the rocks because there's been a lack of passion in the relationship. There may be love in the heart, but there's a lack of passion somewhere. There's been a disconnect. We know what to say, we have the right words to speak, but the passion is not there. You can sit and you can listen to a message that is well structured, that is theologically sound, and yet have nothing, no divine encounter in that. If we do not encounter God in these meetings, then it has been in vain. This is about experiencing the living God, because He wants you to know Him intimately. Amen. He wants you to experience the pleasure, the ecstasy, the joy of fellowship with Him. And so to say that the emotions are not an important part of us is really a heresy. And the reason I say that is because God is not an idol. Amen? The living God, He hears, He sees, He speaks, and He feels. And we were made in His image, in His likeness. God gave us emotions. Emotions can be a wonderful thing. Redirected emotions or misdirected emotions are a dangerous thing. Looking for pleasures in the wrong places are a dangerous thing. The reason why, once again, people are getting into so many things that at one time felt good, looked good, seemed right, but now they're in bondage, now they're miserable, now their life stinks, is because they've been looking for pleasure in the wrong place. They've been looking for love in all the wrong places. He is love. And to experience Him is to experience an ecstasy that the world cannot even compare to. We want to know this loving God, our Creator, the one who designed us so that we could feel. I feel Jesus in this place. Oh, you have the religious crowd to say, oh, we don't go by our feelings. We're going to talk about that. There are books out there that are against Christians having feelings. How many have realized that your feelings a lot of times can tell you something? Your feelings can speak to you. You get a feeling or you get a sense about something. How many have realized that God is pleasurable? Amen. That you can feel His goodness. You can feel the love of God. You can feel joy as an experience and it's a feeling. When the soul and the mind and the body come into unity and wholeness in Christ, there's an alignment, amen. When your heart is right with God, then other things will begin to follow. Your emotions, amen, will come into order. The problem is people have put their emotions before everything else. It felt good at the time. God wants you to experience Him, to feel Him, to know Him. God is a passionate God. And He created us to be a passionate people. And that our passion should be for Him. And when your passion is for God, there's this explosion in the Spirit. There's this union. There's this. There is life. When a couple is passionate together, amen? There can be life as a result of that. Come on. When you have passionate, a relationship with God that is passionate, life will result. It's not a passive relationship, it's passionate. Yes. And somehow people have been taught to think that being passionate or being expressive or, you know, getting excited about God is somehow wrong. And the devil laughs at that and he says, yeah, you keep on believing that because that's why so many are going after lesser things. Because they have not experienced the joy of Him. Yes. If you want to get high, go to the Most High. When an individual becomes emotionally detached in his spiritual life, complacency is the result. Think about it. God has emotions, folks. How many have ever been just really, emotionally just passionate about God? I felt a time in your life you've just been passionate about God. Hopefully you are right now. But when the passion begins to wane, when there becomes too many distractions, too many other things begin to come in and choke you, you begin to disconnect, you get distracted. And that passion begins to wane. What happens? We become complacent. And complacency leads to apathy, to a point where people don't even care. They'll sit in the glory of God and just... Is it over yet? There's been a disconnect. There's no passion. How many know that the Lord Himself is the only one that can reignite that flame within you and create a passion for Him? The more that you love somebody, the more that you get to know somebody and love somebody, the more passionate you can be in that relationship. How many know that your passion is really what you're willing to suffer for? God is so passionate for you that He went to the cross for you. We call it the passion of Christ. He so passionately loved you, He was willing to go all the way to the cross for you. We've got to change our thinking. Oh, some people will say this is heresy, folks. This is right out of the Word of God. Psalms 84, verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. Do you hear the passion in his heart, David? My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He didn't just say my mind or my heart. He said my heart and flesh cry out for the living God. His entire being was crying out for God. When you and I receive Christ, we are commanded to do one thing, folks. We're not commanded to immediately run to the mission field or get involved in Sunday school or sing in the choir or whatever. We're commanded to do one thing when we come to Jesus Christ, and that is love God. Amen. Legalism is loveless devotion. It's going through the motions. It's doing stuff that Christians are supposed to do. But there's no passion. There's no love. There's no enjoyment of the thing. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. But the greatest commandment of all is that we would love God. How can we love God? By having a revelation of who He is. He is love. And when we know how much He loves us and we get acquainted with Him and we enter into union and have a passionate relationship with God, love will be shed abroad in your heart. There will be a burning in your heart. There will be a passion for more of Him. That's good preaching, Keith. Wasn't me. Works are to be a result of loving God and not an attempt to love God. Works without a passion for God are dead works. Works without a passionate love for God is legalism. It's loveless devotion. We were made for God. How many would agree with that? We were made for Him. Our physical bodies are to host God. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We were designed to host God Himself. How many realize that Adam wore God as clothing? Why was it that Adam and Eve weren't naked in the garden? It's because they were clothed with God Himself. What has Christ done for us? He has reconciled us back to the Father so that we once again might be what? Clothed in Him, in His righteousness. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are to put on God as a garment. We are to be clothed in Him so that we will not be ashamed. When they sinned and they were separated, the first result was shame. What did Adam do? He went and he hid himself. He knew that he had lost that relationship. He had been disconnected from his Creator. They were no longer one. Are you following me today? Adam wore God as a garment. His presence clothed him. Therefore, he was not ashamed. The same thing is true today. Folks are running away from God all over the place. Because of the result of sin, which brings shame, shame causes one to want to run and hide. The good news is that Jesus Christ took care of that problem at the cross. There's no sin and shame, amen, in the blood of Christ. And you can be cleansed, you can be washed, you can be forgiven. The debt can be canceled from your life. The debt of sin. We've broken the law of God. But Jesus Christ reconciled us back to the Father through His blood, and He has given us His Holy Spirit. That we might walk in Him once again and not live in condemnation, but in confidence. My confidence is not in self, but in Him. He's my confidence. I put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I put on the armor of God. Every day, put on the armor of God. Be prayed up. Amen? Because what happens is when people don't do that, and even Christians, even strong Christians, if we don't continue to walk in that place of intimacy with God, then all of a sudden we find ourselves not wanting to come into the light. And we don't want to be with those people that are walking in the light because, well, they may know what's going on. God wants us to have pure hearts. God wants us to have pleasure in Him. God wants us to enjoy Him. God wants His people to delight themselves in Him. And when you find Him as your greatest delight and your greatest joy, then the lesser things have no power over you. The lusts of the flesh have no power over you. Because you are clothed in Him. And you have found the greatest pleasure of all is not loving yourself. As the song says. But is knowing God. Walking with Him. Hallelujah. Romans 13 and verse 14, but put on like a garment the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Galatians 3:27, for as many as were baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. Psalm 65 verse 4 said, blessed is the man you choose, Lord, and cause to approach you, that he may dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied, listen, with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. The New Living Translation says this, Psalm 65:4, what joy for those you choose to bring near. Those who live in your holy courts. What joy awaits us inside your holy temple. How many believe that God is pleasurable? That joy is in the Lord. And as long as you try to fill yourself up on other things, lesser things, you're going to miss out on the greater things. You're going to miss out on those things that are eternal. I love this group of people because when we come together, we have pleasure in the Lord. We do. It's This is a place that you want to come to. And it's not because of Pastor Keith or anybody else. It's because Jesus is here. Amen? And wherever he is, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures. Oh, well, I don't know about that pleasure stuff. I mean, come on. There's a lot of Christians that just think that this is... It's because they've been taught bad theology for years and years and years. And they've been destroyed by religious thinking. Rather than understanding that what God has always wanted was a relationship with us. That makes the difference. I came that you might have life, Jesus said. He didn't say, I came that you might be miserable. That you be depressed. Comparing up under it, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We just need more of him, that's all. How many know your problems can be good for you because they drive you deeper into God? And when you go deeper into God, you realize how pleasurable he is, and then you want more. Say more, Lord, right? I preached on the Feast of Tabernacles a while back, but the Israelites were to build these temporary booths, and they're made of palm and willow trees. And they represented temporary dwelling places that commemorated their wanderings in the wilderness. And during this feast, there was a ceremony called the water drawing. The water drawing is part of this Feast of Tabernacles. And the priest, along with a multitude of people, would go down from the Temple Mount to the Pool of Siloam and draw water and ascend to the Temple Mount with the multitudes rejoicing. So they would go down, draw water, amen, and they would ascend to the Temple Mount with the multitudes doing what? Rejoicing. You think God wants his people to be gloomy? No. Now, if you just try psychotropic drugs or whatever else the world wants to offer you, you know, to try to feel good, well, you'll have an artificial, you know, sense of feeling good for a season. But the price is much higher than you anticipate, right? Eventually, the lie reveals itself as to what it is. What God wants his people to realize is that there is such joy, there is such pleasure, there is such peace in him that you don't need any of that stuff. You don't need alcohol. You don't need drugs. And no, you don't need to be in evil sex relationships either. Because you find that there is such a high place in God that when you find and discover that place of intimacy with God, that these things don't even have that pull on you. It's when we allow ourselves to go, when we allow ourselves to get weak, when we stop praying like we should, we quit worshiping like we should, that all of a sudden these lesser things become a little bit bigger in our eyes, a little bit more attractive in our eyes. How many, am I speaking the truth today? But when you've had an experience with the living God and you are worshiping him, you've had time in prayer with Jesus, and you just, man, you come out and you just like, man, I got the full garment on, man, you know? And you're ready to face the world. How many found there's a great boldness and confidence that comes by being filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen. And the lesser things don't attract you. Why? Because God is your joy. God is your peace. And so they would go to the top of this mount, and the priests would pour out this water on the Temple Mount as the multitudes were rejoicing, and he would recite Isaiah 12:3 saying, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Excuse me. That word salvation In Hebrew is Yeshua, meaning Messiah, Jesus. Therefore, with joy, and I like Brother Larry was talking about the rope being faith. You let down the bucket with the rope of faith into the water. Who is the Lord? Amen. Himself. He is the fountain of living waters. So you draw water from the Lord. And with joy you shall draw water from the wells of Jesus, of Yeshua. For what reason? Isn't it Jesus who stood up on that great day of the feast, the same feast of tabernacles, and he said, "He who believes in me, out, as the scripture said, out of his belly or innermost being will flow rivers of living water." He was the fulfillment of that. John 7:37. This was not a gloomy, amen, somber time. It was a time of celebration, a time of joy. The drawing of water was a joyful time because there's only true joy in Messiah, in Jesus. Would you agree? What I want to do is I want to salt you today in the sense that I want to make you thirsty for more of Him. Because when we get more of Him, lesser things do not have the power. They do not have the pull. And we don't end up losing out on the greater riches of eternity. Come on. The Father wants to give you the kingdom. Jesus said it. But the devil wants to rob you. And so he's going to try to cause distraction. He's going to cause you to look at other things and to dwell on lesser things and to try to pull you out of fellowship, try to draw you even away from church, fellowshipping with God's people. How many know there's a river flowing in this house? Amen? Amen. And when we come, we experience the pleasures of God. But there can come a time in your life if you continue to disconnect and don't stay connected, amen, to God's people, that you can begin to lose sight of who you are, why you're here, where you're going, what is life about, what's the purpose. I might as well just eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I'm going to die. Come on. What is this saying? Idolatry is looking for pleasures in the wrong places. You will worship what you fear, and you will worship what you find pleasure in. Come on. Some people worship fishing. Come on. They will say they're closer to God in the boat. And they disconnect from God's people because it's a nice day and I need to be fishing. Listen, I'm not against fishing. I like to fish, am I right? Phil?
Yes, sir, you are.
But what is God wanting? What is He desiring? He's wanting you and I to know that it's not even so much about what He gets out of it. It's what He wants you to get out of it. He wants you to derive your pleasure, your joy, your peace, your righteousness, your completeness from Him and not from self and not from this world. Why was God upset with Israel? Because they were going after these idols. They were worshiping rocks and stones and things that could not feel, they could not see, they could not hear, they could not speak. And the reason for that is because the people had disconnected. They did not have that relationship with the Lord to where they realized that there's nothing, nothing in this world that I want more than Jesus. I will tell you today, there is nothing in this world that I want more than Jesus. Because I have found that He is my joy. He is my peace. He is the reason why I have my being. He's the reason why I breathe. Is because He is my God. He is my Creator. And He created me for Him. for fellowship with God. That is the purpose of mankind, fellowship with God. And when you have fellowship, true fellowship with God, God releases Himself to you. He reveals Himself. He manifests Himself to you. And what He begins to show you is how good He is. How awesome He is. How loving He is. How kind He is. God's not stressed out. God is peaceful. When you're clothed in God, you have peace. You have joy. You have righteousness. You're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You find yourself not being able to stand up for Jesus, you've got to get more of Him, that's all. That's what it means. There's a deficiency. When you are clothed in Him, you have great boldness. Do I have a witness here today? But you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. We need more. And when you get more, you realize there's joy in the Lord. There's freedom in the Lord. It's not religious bondage. I'm having more fun now than ever before in my life. And I tried everything you can imagine almost to find fun in the world. And you do find fun for a short season, but it always leaves you empty at the end. Young people, I hope you're getting this, because your life and your minutes and your hours are quickly going by. Before you know it, you're going to be an adult. Before you know it, you may have a family of your own. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to make the most of? Are you going to make the most of your opportunities that God gives you? What if God were to take you today? What if God were to take you tomorrow? What will you stand before the Lord with? What will you say, Jesus, here is the offering of my life? Do you know God? Do you really know God? To know Him is to love Him. Psalms 36, 7 and 8. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. You get the picture here of the Ark of the Covenant with the overshadowing cherubim. They put their trust under the shadow of your wings. In other words, that's where the glory, the very presence of the Lord was. In other words, they're putting their full trust in God Himself. And as they put their trust in God, they found how pleasant, how joyful, how good it was to be in that place. How precious is your loving kindness. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. And listen, you give them drink from the river of your misery. Pleasures. Do you think God is a God of pleasure? We've been so afraid of that word pleasure. It's been taken out of the church in so many ways. We need to find our pleasure in God, yes. And when you do that, and when you have your priorities in order, and you're finding your pleasure in Him, then you'll find out that a lot of the things that people think are just so cool and that everybody needs to be doing because it's pleasurable are not that pleasurable at all. They haven't got a clue. They don't know how good God is yet. Amen. So we want to say, listen, you don't need to worship those dumb idols. Amen? You don't need to put your trust in wind and sand. Come on with us and experience the living God yourself. He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to be saved. Amen? Why? Because He wants children. He wants us. He wants you. God wants you. He wants you. When man is ignorant of the mercies and pleasures of God, he attempts to fill himself with lesser things or wrong things. Let me just say this, folks, and I know some of you might get upset with me. That's okay. You still have to love me. I'm going to tell you the truth, because this is how I believe. This is how I see it. The nations of the world will not be drawn to God because of our moral stance. Are we to be moral? Absolutely. But are they going to be drawn to God because of our moral stand? Think about it. How about our right-wing politics? They're going to say, I want your God because you're a right-wing. Or how about our ability to articulate doctrine even? Are they going to be drawn to God because of that? They're going to be drawn to God through our people who are expressing the love of God because they are in love with God. They need to see Christ in us. They need to see the reality of the kingdom. They need to see the love of God in our lives because we are in love with God. And when you are in love with God and you know that He's in love with you, guess what? Love is going to flow out of you like a river. And people are going to want to drink from that water. Come on. It's not our legal stands, okay? It's about them knowing that God so loved the world. He didn't say He just loved good people. But He loves everybody. God loves the world. He's not willing that anyone should perish. That He gave Himself. He gave Jesus, His Son, amen? To die for us. That's how much God loves us. Do you see that? We say that, we quote that, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Let's just stop right there and say, God so loved me. God loves me. And coming to that revelation, realizing God really loves me. When I remember the cross, I think about the love of God for me. And He loved me that much. He's a God that I can love. The reason why people, even Christians, don't really know how to love God is because they have a distorted view of who God is. I want you to hear that. Can we love a God who's just there with His hand outstretched, ready to smite you at the first infraction? Is that the kind of God you just want to run to and love on? What's the greatest commandment of all? To love God? How can I love God if that's what He's about? Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father to us. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What was Jesus like? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to love on people. Jesus was someone that you could easily love. When they touched Him and they felt Him and they heard His words and they saw how much He loved them, He was somebody that you could easily love. The people that didn't love Jesus were the religious people. They were the intellectuals, the smart ones, in a lot of cases. There's nothing wrong with being smart, but you've got to have the reality of it. Amen? Yes. Jesus didn't go around rebuking the people, especially the common people who were even caught up in their sin. He came to show them a better way. He was rebuking the religious crowd that was preventing people from coming to Christ. Because they had knowledge, but they did not have substance. Folks, we need knowledge and substance. We need both. We need the knowledge of God. But we need the knowledge of God not just so we can be smart and impress people with our theology, but we need the knowledge of God so that we may know Him. That we may have intimacy with Him. That we may enjoy God. I'm almost through. God wants you to enjoy Him. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He wants you to enjoy Him. Say amen. Make me feel good. Amen. And, the religious crowd is not going to get you. The religious crowd is not going to even like you. The religious crowd probably don't want you around because you're those squirrely people. You're those emotional people. But when God gets a hold of you and your emotions get taken over by the Holy Ghost, who knows? Sometimes you want to shout. Sometimes you want to dance. Sometimes you want to fall on your face and be quiet too. But He moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. Oh, He messes up the intellectual mind, doesn't He?
Oh, yeah.
As soon as we got Him in our little box, He said, "Nope, your box won't contain me." He's constantly revealing Himself. So the truth shall set you free. I'm free today. You know what? I'm not free to sin, and I don't even want to, because I just want to please my Lord, because He is so wonderful, so awesome, and so good, and so loving, and so kind. He's my best friend. He's going to be with me. Even when everybody else may turn their back on you, God's going to be with you. And sometimes the closest people to you may forsake you, not because they even determined to do that, but things happen in life. But God will never turn His back on you. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you forever. Jesus spoke of those who had a hypocritical form of worship. And that means that they were singing about the joy and the pleasure of God, and yet there was no reality to it. They were just doing it because that's the song we're singing this morning. Are you with me? Because sometimes we haven't really had a grasp or an understanding of that God is actually someone you want to be with. Come on. God is actually somebody that you want to worship, that you want to follow, that you want to just, whatever you say, Jesus, I'm with you. We're going to do this thing together. Because you're the one that really loves me. You're the one that doesn't fail me. I may not understand everything you do, but I know you're good all the time. And I know that you love me. How much do you love me? You shed your blood for me. That's how much you love me. Matthew 15:8, Jesus said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." God wants more than our money. He wants more than our Sunday mornings. Are you with me? That loveless devotion. He wants a people who know the bliss of enjoying Him. A people who delight themselves in Him. God delights in you, and He wants us to delight ourselves in Him. How many believe today God delights in you? Well, He does. Get that revelation. He loved you before you loved Him. He looked for you when you weren't looking for Him, folks. He first loved you. You got to get a revelation of that. That He loves you. There are consequences for sin. Sin is a disconnect from God. When we disconnect from Him, folks, we begin to wander, don't we? When we no longer are following the shepherd, we get seduced by other things. The polluted pools of this world begin to seduce us away from Him. And often we end up pulling other people with us. And I'm going to say it one more time, and I've said it already, but the reason man is prone to sin is because he is separated from the superior realities, the pleasures of God's presence. Man, in his natural state, I want you to hear this, is blind to the true ecstasies and joy of God. Man in his natural state is blind to the true riches, the ecstasy of knowing God intimately. And so what we do naturally is we attempt to fill ourselves up with lesser things. We become idolaters. Yeah. The Bible says in the last days that men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What is it saying? It's saying that there's a misdirected passion. We're getting passionate about temporary worldly things. But when you find the joy, the ecstasy of knowing God, the joy of his fellowship, then the lesser things do not have that pull, that power over you anymore. You found the pearl of great price. I want to finish with this. We were out in, I think, it was one of the revivals we were having here, and someone was a visitor, and they were sitting up here. And the comment was made, Jesus junkies. You know what? I didn't take any offense to that. And she didn't say it as an offensive thing. What she was saying is that these people are addicted to Jesus. There's only one person you need to be addicted to, all right? And one thing, that's Him. And if you're not addicted to Jesus, and if the love of God does not master your heart, guess what? The love of the world will. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do, is rob you of your eternal inheritance and of the pleasures of knowing God and having a walk with Him in new life. I want you to get hungry enough, thirsty enough, where you're going to abandon yourself. When we come together, it's going to be about, hey, I want to get close to God as I can. I want to get as much of God as I can get. And if that means that, you know, my buddy's not going to think I'm that cool anymore. Oh, yeah, you might be called a Jesus freak even. You should be. You should be recognized as a Jesus freak. Those are those Jesus people. And they will know us by our love. These people are full of love. They love people. They really love people. And they love each other. I want to be in that family. All right. Why do people want to come here? It's because there's love here. Why? Because God is here. And He is here in you and in me. And as we are drawing from the wells of Yeshua, drinking, amen, from the springs of living water, happy now am I. My soul they satisfy. And when you find your delight and your pleasure in His river, then the lesser things cannot dominate you anymore.